Most people don't realize this, but the Bell system did not have step-by-step until the 1940s. That's because it was patented by the Automatic Electric Company. Without the ability to use Mr. Stroger's gal-less, cuss-less telephone and its subsequent improvements, the Bell system could not manufacture step, and so it ended up staying with manual until it could come up with its own dial system. In the Bell system cities, as late as the 1950s, there was still quite a bit of operator instead of dial tone type telephone service. But regular dial telephone service for the Bell system did begin in 1922 in, of all places, Omaha, where the first panel was installed. Panel was Bell's only dial system, and so it was put everywhere, including southern cities like Atlanta. But in many of these southern cities, it never really got very far. Atlanta had at most two panel offices, and it or they ended up being replaced by step-by-step. For the Bell system, that was actually a form of modernization. The problem was that panel never really was designed to work with step. It was designed to work with crossbar one and manual offices. And so the connection between panel and step never got made, except by kludges they would invent for the particular situation. Meanwhile, small metropolitan areas were, like it or not, going to end up having to use step for their rural and some suburban communities. So panel fizzled fairly early in places like Atlanta, and crossbar one just never even got there. But the panel installations in New York City were quite safe because they were surrounded by more city and then big suburbs, and so they didn't have to connect to any steps at all. And that's why we still heard them in the 1970s. Now, what we, the phone freaks, heard, of course, was not the same as what the people inside the switch room heard. For example, while this was extremely audible to us, I have no idea how loud this was in the CO. And you don't hear this on most of the panels, but it's all over the Gedney 9 tapes. But one thing that we heard, and is on all the panel tapes, of course, is that. Revertive pulsing really is like a conversation between two people. And when Mark Brené went to the Seattle Phone Museum, where they have a living panel office, the panel switchman actually did use that analogy to describe it.
As the bar goes up, it sends out pulses that correspond to how far it's going up. It sends out pulses to the piece of equipment that's in control. The piece of equipment says, okay, start sending and I'll tell you when to stop. So it says, start now. And the roller makes this go up and it sends out pulses as it goes up. The originating is counting those pulses. If I want a five, when it gets to five, I'll tell him to stop. As soon as that five, he says, stop now. So it stops, and it stays on five, as long as the call is up. When the call is over, it's ready to disconnect. We operate the down drive, and bring it back down.
Panel switches are motor-driven, and they operate at their own speed. And each function involved in making the selection takes a different amount of time. For that reason, rather than having the subscriber dial operate the panel switch, they decided to have a sender. Now, the sender doesn't even operate the panel switch. All the sender does is say, start. And then the panel switch starts moving, sending pulses back that tell the sender how far it has gone. And when it gets to where the sender wants it, the sender says, stop. Now, when Ben picks up his phone here and puts in a dime, a line finder ends up finding his line, and that connects him to a district, which is the first panel switch that is a selector. This switch will operate at its own speed under control of the sender to make the first selection, which will be, in most cases, a trunk to a second selector. At that point, Ben's same sender will control the second selector, and may very well end up controlling switches in another office through the very same revertive pulse protocol. But to do that, it has to know what number he's dialing, so let's see what he dials. Before I let Ben dial the third digit, let me just mention that this call is going to be edited in an unrealistic way. And if you're in a hurry to hear this phone call complete, well, let's just say take your shoes off, sit down and have a good listen, because there's a lot that needs to be explained. And rather than explain it all at once and then make the phone call, I'm going to explain what needs to be explained at each step along the way. Okay, here goes the third digit. He dialed 439. So he's making an intra-office call to this very same panel. That will make this call a little simpler than most, because the intra calls skip the second selector, also known as the office frame. This call, in fact, is going to go through a total of three panel selectors. The district frame, that's the first one. It's going to skip the office frame because the intra calls don't use that. They just use a really big trunk group on the first selector. So it's going to go from the district frame to the incoming frame. That's your first incoming selector. And then from the incoming to the final. The final is the one that the actual line ends up appearing on for incoming purposes. Each final selector has access to 500 lines, but all panel selectors, be they district, office, those are the outgoing two, incoming or final, those are the incoming two, they all have 500 possible terminals that you could go to. So it's a switch based on 500, unlike the step selector, which is based on 100. These 500 trunks or lines are arranged in banks of 100 each, and then within the bank of 100, there are groups that they are broken down into. The actual selection process is a three-step process. It's all done mechanically by a selecting rod that has the brush on it that will end up making the connection as it contacts whatever terminal we end up on. Now, with 500 possible terminals to end up on, they could have made it so there was one selecting brush which would start at the bottom and then go past 499 terminals, perhaps, before getting to where it wanted to go. But they chose not to do it that way. It would have been a bit cumbersome, probably would have required the central office building to have extremely high ceilings, actually, had they designed it that way. So what they did instead was they had five separate brushes on any one selector. Now, only one of those brushes is going to be used for any one call. The reason for having five brushes is so that a brush is conveniently positioned in front of each bank of 100 terminals. So which brush are we going to use, and which trunk group within that particular bank? Well, to find that out, the sender, which gave Ben the dial tone and stored his digits, immediately after he dialed the third digit, it called the decoder. This was done absolutely silently from our point of view. So in far less than a second after he dialed the third digit, the sender called up the decoder and said, "Hey, what about 439? To which the decoder responded, "Schmuck, that's you. How many times do I have to tell you that?" No, actually, an intra-office call in panel is really not that different from an inter-office call. So the decoder came back with the following information. It's brush 4, group 0. There's no second brush and group, and this is a revertive pulse call. So, now, the sender knows exactly what to do. It's going to say start, then it will listen to the pulses that the district makes as it is rotating through the five possible brushes that this call is going to go out on. And we're lucky, this is on brush 4, so we're going to get to rotate through all five of them. And yes, in panel you have to count up from 0, so it's brush 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, stop! And what that sounds like is this. I know that was quick. Let me back up and do that again in slow motion. This is actually the first thing you hear after he dials 439. The decoder call makes no sound, but then the brush and group selection occurs, which begins with the sender saying, start. Not much of a sound, but that's actually the sender saying start, as phone freaks hear it at least. This is immediately followed by the sound of the district responding. And for some reason, in panels, you actually hear sort of a whoomph of static in most cases when the district selector is responding to the stop and start signals. The selectors down the line don't seem to make that noise. But anyway, here's the district responding. Why we hear that, I don't know, but we almost always do. What's happening now is that the selecting rod is being engaged with the motor so that it is starting to move up. And as soon as brush 0 is in place and ready to go, we'll get a pulse. Okay, now brush 0 is ready to go, and if we wanted a trunk in the lowest bank, this is where the sender would say stop. But we actually want a trunk in bank 4, so the sender is going to allow 4 more pulses. as each brush is put into place and ready to go, and only when brush 4 is in place will it send the stop signal. I'll put the actual pulses in slow motion, but from the fourth pulse to the stop signal, I won't edit at all. Brush 1, 2, 3, 4, stop. The mechanics that rotate through those 5 brushes are very clever. It's more of a clockwork type arrangement, because all it's doing electromechanically is operating a relay which forces the selecting rod to engage with an already turning motor and start moving up. But as the rod moves up through that first selection process, it actually has a very clever way of rotating in each of the brushes. It's hard to remember, actually. I've only seen it a couple of times. But anyway, we've now selected the brush. Now we have to select the trunk group. When the rod is engaged with the motor this time, it's going to do a different type of operation. It will start to move up through the bank of 100 terminals, sending a revertive pulse back to the sender every time it reaches the beginning of a trunk group. Now we want trunk group 0, so the sender says start. The selecting rod begins moving up again, and as soon as it gets to trunk group 0, it pulses. And since that is what the sender is looking for, it says stop. Now there was a burst of static there that is additional to the stop signal, and again, that's just the district responding to the stop signal. For some reason, that relay produces a whoosh from the subscriber's point of view. So now that the trunk group has been selected, there is a third selection operation going on which we hear almost nothing of. And what's going on is the district is going into another mode. Again, the rod is moving up, this time more slowly, and it's checking each individual terminal for the first idle trunk. As soon as it finds one, it cuts into it and connects us to, in this case, an available selector on a Gedney 9 incoming frame. So we've just completed the first selection. It was a three-step operation. First the brush, then the trunk group, and then the first idle trunk within that group. That last step didn't produce any revertive pulsing because that was just selecting an idle trunk. The sender doesn't have to know about that. All it cares about is that we're in the right trunk group. Now, when we get down to the final switch, that will be different because there we're actually looking for an individual line, but that's getting ahead of ourselves. Where we are now is the first incoming Gedney 9 selector, and this selection is going to be very much like the last one. Now, what number is Ben dialing anyway? He has to dial it first. Let's give him a chance to dial the thousands digit of the phone number. He dialed a 5. And Ben, thanks for hanging in there, man. I know it's a pain while you're standing there at the payphone and I freeze time, and boy, are you patient. But anyway, now that he's dialed a 5, the sender knows that that's enough information so that it can go ahead and select the brush now. That's because of the way panel is laid out. The incoming side of panel is based on the panel switch, which of course has 500 terminals. Therefore, it was extremely convenient to arrange the final switches in the following manner. The first group of final switches handles line numbers 0000 through 0499. The second group handles line numbers 0500 through 0999. The next group is 1000 through 1499, and so on. And as you can see, that means there are 20 groups of final switches. And what we do here at the first incoming selector is to select the correct final group. Now, once he dials the hundreds digit, we will know exactly which group we want. But right now, he's only dialed the thousands digit. So the sender will go ahead and select the brush, and then when he dials the hundreds digit, it will select the group. So immediately after Ben dials a 5, the sender says, start. That's the start signal, and now the motor is engaged, the rod is rising, and very soon, brush 0 will be snapped into place and ready to go. Alright, now with brush 0 in place, we have access to the 0000 group and the 1000 group of Gedney 9. Going once? Okay, I guess he doesn't want that part of the office. Let's snap in brush 1 and let him know about it. Okay, brush 1 is in place. Would you like the 2 or 3000 group? Doesn't sound like it. Okay, let's try brush 2. What do you say? Yeah, that was a stop signal. Very hard to hear for the phone freak. The district frame makes it easier to hear, but for the rest of the time, it's very subtle sound-wise.
But the selectors don't have any trouble hearing that, because to them, it's a very clear DC indication. In fact, the power is being taken off the line, so that can't be missed. When the power is put back on, it means, let's begin the next digit. But of course, it can't do that until Ben dials the hundreds digit, because that's going to tell us which group within this bank we want. So here Ben dials the hundreds digit. It's a 4. We are already in bank 2 of the incoming switch. It has 100 terminals divided into 4 groups of 25 each, and each of those leads to a final switch. The first group of 25 leads to the final switches for the lower half of the Gedney 9 4000 group. The next 25 trunks go to final switches for the upper half of the 4000s, and that third group, group 2, leads to where we want to go, which is the lower half of the Gedney 9 5000 numbers. Now, when the sender says start, the selecting rod is going to move up, but it's only going to revert a pulse once every 25 trunks. That's the start signal. Group 0, group 1, group 2, the one we want, stop. And now, the incoming switch does another selection operation which we don't hear, and it just selects the first idle trunk of the 25 in this group. That trunk goes directly to a final switch. So we've just completed our second selection, again a 3-stage process, and only the first 2 stages produced revertive pulsing. Now we are at the final switch, one of the switches that connects to Gedney 9 5000 through 5499. And Ben does not have to dial another digit yet for the sender to still be able to do something. Knowing that he's calling the Gedney 9 5400 group, the 54 numbers are of course going to be in the top 100 terminals. So the sender will direct the incoming switch to use brush 4, which sounds like this. That was in real time, that's start, 5 pulses and a stop. So now we're sitting in front of 100 lines in the Gedney 9 5400 group. Then we'll have to dial another digit before anything else can happen. That's a 7. So having already selected the brush, we need to select the group. In this case, it's Gedney 9 5470 through 5479. When the sender says start, the selecting rod will begin rising and we'll get a revertive pulse every 10 lines. First it'll be the Gedney 9 540s, then the Gedney 9 541s, and so on until 8 pulses, 01, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, have been sent. I'll let you hear the first part of this in real time. You'll hear a little burst of static followed by 7 pulses. Okay, I'm freezing time now. One more pulse will come by, and you'll notice that at the end of this pulse, there's a burst of static. That's the stop signal. There we go. Generally, the stop signal comes right on the heels of the pulse like that. I've been separating it just to make it clear, but in real life, it's as if it goes tick, 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 ticks. Now, most panel switches at this point would be searching for an idle trunk, but this is the final switch. So we have to get the last digit of the phone number, and the sender will actually control the terminal we end up on. So let's let Ben dial the last digit of the phone number. The last digit is a 2, which means the sender has to let 3 pulses go by. 5470, 1, 2, stop. Now I'm going to play this in real time. Notice that the pulse rate that we hear is faster than the last digit was, revertive pulse-wise, but it's actually a slower travel speed for the selecting rod, because last time it was going up and sending only 1 pulse every 10 terminals. Now it's sending a revertive pulse every terminal. So while the revertive pulse rate is faster, actually the rod is moving up more slowly. Here goes. There, that was a start signal, 3 pulses, and a stop. Now the communication between the sender and the selectors has been pretty straightforward. When the sender doesn't want the switches to do anything, it just takes the power off the ring side of the line. When the sender puts the power back on, then the selector begins to move, and each revertive pulse is a momentary interruption in the circuit which the sender can see. That works fine up to this point, but now that the complete phone number has been sent, the final selector has to send a signal back to the sender to say, okay, I got it, I'm ringing the line, you can cut through. This final confirmation, called an incoming advance, is required to keep from leaving the customer high and dry, in case something didn't sync up right. Now, the incoming advance is an actual polarity reversal, like a flash of answer supervision, being sent from the terminating end back to the sender. And that sounds like this. Now it's okay for the sender to drop out, and so it does. It's no longer needed because all it did was set up our call, which is now complete, except for perhaps we might end up on a busy signal. But anyway, the sender drops out, leaving us cut through audio-wise to the switching train, which goes all the way to the final switch. And what that sounds like is... And by now, the final switch has begun ringing. And there you go, it only took 15 minutes. Which was only possible due to the magic of editing. Had this been a step office, you actually could take 15 minutes to dial a local call and have it go through at the end, but in panel that would not have worked because the sender would have timed out. Another difference between step and panel is that in step, the final switch, called the connector, is responsible for the talk battery to the calling party's line when a call is in progress. And that's one reason why in step your line polarity reverses when the party answers. But in panel, the district remains in control, so that the talk battery of Ben's phone line is always provided by the district, and when local calls answer, his line polarity does not reverse. And speaking of reversing, hang on a second, Ben, while we... That's right, we're going to play it again.
That's...
Much faster this time, I promise. This time I will leave the revertive pulse digits intact rather than slowing them down, but I'll talk in between them. Ben is about to dial the 9 of Gedney 9. When that happens, there will be a decoder call, which we won't hear. Then you'll hear the district being directed to select brush 4. There we go. And now, group 0. The district makes some extra static during the revertive pulsing, as I said before. And now there's an unheard selection process where the district selects the idle trunk in that group, which of course goes to Gedney 9 incoming. When Ben dials the next digit, which is a 5, the incoming selector will be directed to brush 2 for the 4 and 5,000 groups. There we go, not so much static this time because we're on the incoming, which doesn't make the static. Now Ben's going to dial a 4. The incoming selector will be directed to group 2. Notice how slow this pulse rate is. That's because even though the selecting rod is traveling at full speed, it's only making one pulse every 25 trunks. This, in the sequence of revertive pulsing, is always the slowest sounding digit. I'm freezing time to talk here, but actually the next revertive pulse digit just follows. It's at this point that the incoming switch, silently to us, selects an idle trunk to a final switch, and then the sender goes ahead and tells the final switch to select brush 4. There we go, that puts us in the top bank, giving us access to all 100 lines beginning with Gedney 9, 5-4. Next, Ben will dial a 7, and the incoming switch will be told to go to group 7, so that'll be 8 pulses, giving us access to Gedney 9, 5-4-7-0 through 5-4-7-9. The pulse rate for that group selection is faster than the last one because it's pulsing every 10 terminals instead of every 25. Next, Ben will dial the last digit of the phone number, and the sender will control the incoming switch right to the terminal. It'll be 3 pulses, 012. That was a fast pulse rate, but in fact the selecting rod was moving more slowly there and pulsing every single terminal. Then we have the incoming advance, cut through, and it's already ringing. Now when Ben does a long flash to disconnect, there's a burst of static. We've been taken off the switching train, and we now seem to be on some sort of unbalanced power associated with the district. The hum is very similar to the hum we get while dialing, but not exactly the same. Then the next sound is the coin return, and then the district going off of Ben's line, leaving him in the line idle mode. When a call ends in panel, all of the involved switches engage the motor in another mode, not the up fast, not the up slow, but the downdrive mode, So rather than springing back and falling down the way step switches do, it actually engages the motor to drive the selecting rod down.
But as a phone freak, you never get to hear that, because relays in the district effectively disconnect you before the downdrive even begins to happen. So that happens after the call is really disconnected, and it just puts the switches ready to be used again. Well, that's it for this segment.
So that is all for tonight. One call.
Right, one call. But at least we know what's going on, a little bit. Now, there's a lot more to cover, although none of it will be covered quite in such slow motion as we did this time. For one thing, there's more stuff to explain about revertive pulsing to crossbar offices. For another, there is PCI pulsing. So one or more of those topics will be discussed in the next segment.